Hello, dear student. Good day to you. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and it's my pleasure today to talk to you. Let me tell you something about myself. I'm in the travel industry, tourism industry, hospitality industry, aviation industry for almost over 45 years. And this 45 years of my experience with the industry has given me a tremendous approach and understanding of this industry's smooth flow. I have, very modestly, I'm sharing with you that I have traveled to over 68 countries of the world. That, of course, include US and many European countries, including the Far East. This has helped me to understand the international culture, the growth of tourism, what international ethics are, and how people expect in the tourism industry. So with that good amount of experience, knowledge, and expertise, I would be sharing in my today's lecture with you some of those with respect of this particular topic that I'm going to talk to you in various PowerPoint presentation. Please relax and enjoy my talk. Once again, I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Today, our chapter number one, we would be talking introduction to tourism. Now, let me clarify that tourism is much wider subject and travel is part of it, especially dealing with the nitty-gritty of tourism. Tourism has a very wide base, big understanding. So with that introduction to tourism, we will begin today. What we will be learning today? About some definition of travel and tourism. Definitely we need to know what international institutions talk about tourism. We will also understand the definition of travel and tourism and understand the definition of a tourist, whom we can call a tourist. We will understand that. We will also understand an idea about the global and Indian travel and tourism industry. Definitely, because we need to understand from Indian perspective what travel and tourism industry is offering. So with that as an introduction to you explaining on the tourism, let's begin our learning. Enjoy learning, enjoy my talk. So definition from the literature picked up from various scholars in travel and tourism industry, how they have defined. So some of the definitions are, according to Austrian economist Hermann von Schulard, in 1910, he says a total of operators, mainly of an economic nature, which directly relates to the entry, stay, and movement of foreigners inside and outside a certain country, city, or a region. So you see, this explained and covers a wide understanding of tourism. We talk about foreigners coming into a country, staying there, and movement within a country where they have been. We look at another definition from Tourism Society of England, and that is picked up as in 1976. What it says is, tourism is a temporary short-term movement of people to destination outside the places where they normally live. So whichever is their habitat, wherever they live, where their homes are, you go out of that area and you travel to another area to enjoy, to stay and learn about that by visiting various tourism places. You can live there or possibly work. And there are activities during the stay and each destination. So the activity are also enrolled in understanding tourism, and it's an activity linked to tourism. So this is how very widely defined by the Tourism Society of England that exactly clarifies what tourism is. Let's move further. Another definition, and these are all conceptual definitions. The International Association of Scientific Experts in Tourism. In 1981, a particular activity selected by choice, undertaken outside the home environment. Tourism may or may not involve overnight stays away from home. So this explains that possibly overnight stay may not be involved. Possibly you may fly to another country, take a bus and go to another city or a destination and may not stay overnight. Lot of international tourists are aware of this. They don't stay overnight. In fact, they take a flight to move out of the city that they have lived for a number of days and go to another city. So not necessarily that overnight stay makes a tourism definition perfect. So travel and tourism by World Tourism Organization. WTO stands for World Tourism Organization. And it is an organization under the umbrella of United Nations. And in most places, it is identified as UNWTO, United Nations World Tourism Organization. So what does it say? It says that domestic tourism means travel within the country, in this case, the resident travel and visit destination. So domestic tourism, say for example, for us in India, we travel from Mumbai to Goa, or we travel from Mumbai to, say, Ahmedabad, or we go down from Mumbai to anywhere within Indian boundaries, that is a domestic tourism. It also includes foreigners, possibly. Not necessarily that all domestic tourists are Indian. A foreigner who is working, staying here, for example, embassy staff, foreign corporates, they also get involved into domestic tourism and they perfectly define a domestic tourism. International tourism, the other explanation given by World Tourism Organization for international tourism means travel outside the country, which means you cross the border of a particular country. Could be by land, could be by flight, could be by ship, boat, whatever. And you may be noticing that there are many countries in the world that they don't have a sea link to it. So possibly they either fly or they go by land within Europe or within Africa, in Asia example as well. For example, Nepal. Nepal doesn't have a sea border. Likewise, Bhutan doesn't have a sea. And more such examples can be picked up from all the continents, be it is Europe, Africa, or Asia. All there are countries. Switzerland, one of the most visited countries of the world, doesn't have a sea border. They don't have sea. They have the borders with Germany, France, Italy, Austria, all landlocked country. So again, there, if someone goes from Germany to Switzerland by road, it will also fall under the definition of international tourism. And the third explanation is, or the definition given by World Tourism Organization, it suggests international tourism, internal tourism, it comprises domestic tourism and inbound tourism. Now, what do we understand by inbound tourism? Any group, any individual coming into a country from an outside country would be classified as an inbound tourism. And as internal tourism, so this explains the internal tourism. All that tourism activity happening within a country is possibly classified as internal tourism. So we just now saw the domestic tourism, we saw international tourism and international internal tourism, well defined to you. We move further. Inbound tourism. Let's pick up this particular definition. Inbound tourism. As I have just now explained to you, my dear student, that inbound tourism refers to native of other countries and non-resident visit a country. One of the finest, another example that I can give you is an Indian working in Dubai and would like to travel from Dubai to Abu Dhabi or to Sharjah or Ras Al Khaimah, which is again one country, United Arab Emirates, that will be classified as inbound tourism. All the records of a tourist coming in from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, Ras Al Khaimah, Sharjah, Fujairah, all those will be counted as inbound tourism. Likewise, for example, in India, if you get the number of tourists coming up from Mumbai, Gujarat, Ahmedabad, Surat, or possibly from Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh, or UP, they will all be supporting the inbound tourism. And likewise, outbound tourism, you cross the border of a country and could be native, resident, and foreigners. Could be an Indian staying in Saudi Arabia, Singapore, Australia, and an Indian traveling from Singapore, holding Indian passport, going from Singapore to United States, he will be considered as outbound tourism. So, dear student, you will have noticed that the wide canvas of definitions picks up not from the nationality, but it picks up from what activity of tourism is happening, whether they are resident of India, staying here as a embassy staff, consulate staff, corporate staff, multinational company staff, and traveling within India, they will be inbound tourists, domestic tourists, and likewise, crossing the border, going to another country, will be outbound tourism, irrespective of their nationality. I hope this explained to you in detail of the inbound and outbound tourism. Now we take end users segment. Now we all know that end users means those who utilize the services, the supply chain that is being offered, who use this. Visitors all travel who fall within agreed definitions of tourism. They are end users, visitors. There are different names given to the end users. More economic term is end user or a consumer. But the moment the guest stays in a hotel, is called guest, the end user. Likewise, an end user using a flight will be called a passenger. Okay, so tourists or staying visitors. Now we take into end user segmentation, classification of understanding what end user segments picks up them for, and that's tourists or staying visitors. Visitors who stay overnight at a destination. So a tourist who has come in from, say, Germany and staying in Delhi overnight, then he is staying visitor, which means he has discontinued his journey and staying maybe night, two nights, three nights, etc. Then there are same day visitors. You just go for a day and come back. And these type of day visitor could be anywhere. In domestic, business traveler going down to Delhi on a 7 o'clock flight from Mumbai, goes down there, arrives there by, say, 9:30, and then finishing the activities by 4:30, 5 o'clock, taking a flight back, not overnighting, is a same-day visitor. A passenger going from London to Paris for a business meet and then coming back the same day, so they are called same-day visitors. Visitors who arrive and depart on the same day. Airlines provide them a lot of such facilities. For example, for day visitors, you can take your boarding pass and your return boarding pass on the same approach that you do, either through web check-in or from the counter of airline staff. So you don't have to line up once again. Well, that was just as an explanation of further to that same day visitors. Then we have excursionists. As the name suggests, it is excursion, excursion, holiday, you know, enjoyment. So excursionists are those who staying less than 24 hours in the country, including cruise passengers. And this very well explained from the segment of cruising. For example, you are sailing into Caribbean and your ship docks at Jamaica, somewhere at one of the ports. You have taken a Caribbean itinerary from Miami, which is the cruise capital of the world. And you have taken a cruise 7 nights, Jamaica, Bahamas, Haiti, and so on. So you just arrive there by 8 o'clock in the morning. You enjoy, you go down to town, you come out of the ship, disembark, have your fun, and come back again on a ship without overnighting. So these type of tourists are there on for the destination, not for more than less than 24 hours. So this has given you various segmentation and its explanation. Let's move further, dear student. And we pick up the international body, United Nations World Tourism Organization. What does that say? It says about the travel and tourism by United Nations World Tourism Organization. It says that tourism comprises the activities of person traveling to and staying in places outside their usual environment for not more than one consecutive year. Mind and understand this particular definition given by United Nations. Not more than one consecutive year. Which means if you are staying for 363 or 64 days, you will still be called a tourist in another country. The moment you complete an year outside your home, then you become non-resident of a country and resident of the country that you have gone to. This can be explained from the examples of a lot of Indians staying in United Arab Emirates, Oman, Singapore, Australia, USA, they have taken up their residency for employment, for work, for study for more than 1 year, and they are considered as resident of those countries. So this has to be noticed. The moment you complete 1 year, you become non-resident of India and resident of the country where you have gone for your employment, work, or have taken up the stay there willingly for some reason or the other. Could be for your studies, could be your medical treatment, could be political asylums. Yeah, so all that. And this, of course, has some tax benefit, which is not our topic to talk here, because once you become non-resident, then you are exempted from all the earnings that you do in another country. And that's why people stay there. And say, for example, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait. There are a huge number of Indians who are earning good money there and they are not taxed for income tax. So, well, that's a different topic there, student. We will continue with our travel and tourism by United Nations definition that I explained to you in detail. Remember, anybody staying more than 1 year, then you become the resident of that country. Now we go into travel and tourism by UNWTO. We are moving further in understanding with the example taken from the features UNWTO defines of tourism. And what are the features? Let's pick them one by one. It says that same day visit or the visitor are part of a market. It is not mandatory or compulsory to have the overnight stay. So you become part of the market. So if you have gone and stayed for even 8 hours, 10 hours, you are becoming and supporting the supply chain, the tourism industry flourishing in any particular country. You have contributed as a tourist to the growth of tourism in that particular country. Another feature is, mind it, you don't take overnight stays. We go to the next. The total market includes travel for leisure or for pleasure. It includes travel for business, social, religious, educational, sports, and other purposes. I'll explain to you this point. Very simple. People go, for example, to watch World Cup, Cricket World Cup, or they have come to watch the Football World Cup, and so on and so forth. They are all part of sport tourism activity. They would be staying there for two nights, three nights to watch the final. There were a lot of tourists who came to watch the World Cup final in Ahmedabad. They were all considered because they came and stay for 2 days, 3 days to watch that because they came from outside. Likewise, domestic tourists went. So the total market will include all those who have contributed to the growth of tourism. And also, my dear student, it refers to religious tourism. Now, what are the religious tourism or pilgrimage tourism as such? Huge number of people coming in for performing Hajj in Mecca. And that is, again, they would be going there for, say, 8 days, 10 days. People coming for Kumbh Mela or performing some religious activities in the temples of Uttarakhand or in Prayagraj in UP or Rameshwaram or Sabarimalai in the southern part of India. All those are religious activities, pilgrimage activities. Likewise, people go down to, to Rome, for example, to visit the St. Peter's Square, which is the residency of the Pope. And those all activities where whatever they buy there, which hotel they stay, the airline they fly, they become the part of, as a market of tourism. So quite well defined, and the features that explains onto that. And then, of course, provided that destination of travel is outside, all this happening outside the country. I picked up examples of people coming to Kumbh Mela, say from Australia, some Hindus living in Australia, they come here for Kumbh Mela, or Muslims staying all over the world going to Saudi Arabia. They have gone outside their home stay. We go further in understanding the future of travel and tourism by UNWTO. The UNWTO definition of tourism: all tourism have a travel component, but all travel is not necessarily the tourism. I explained this to you, that all tourism have a travel component. All tourism have a travel component. Let's explain this. For example, when you would go for a tourism activity, definitely you would be staying, taking a flight, staying in a hotel, would be visiting some malls, would go for some shopping, you will visit the tourist destination places, and so on, and you'll buy a city tour, all that extra. That is a tourism, but all travel is not necessarily that tourism. Very simple to explain. You are going to go to some place in India. You have no activity. You are just going there, meet someone and come back. No tourism activity. So that will not exactly a feature of tourism. That is a travel, but it does not classify, it does not sit in the exact definition of tourism. Moving further, it excludes all the routine commuting type travel. Huge number of people come from Pune, from Surat, from Nashik to Mumbai for certain things. They are traveling, but they are not tourists. They take a train to come from Pune. They take a train from Nashik. They take a train from Surat to come to Mumbai. They just go back. There is no tourism activity. They have just gone for a specific routine travel. There are a lot who come in to work in Mumbai from Pune, Nashik and Surat. Just an example. It could be any such possible example that could define that travel is happening, but it's not tourism. There's a lot of confusion in the market and with the students as well. Tourism, as I explained in the beginning itself when I started talking to you, that Tourism is much bigger canvas, whereas travel is the nitty-gritty, the activity that happens. So in tourism, travel activity would happen, but in travel, there is no tourism activity. It's just a routine thing that people do. And then, of course, I give this, such as going to nearby shop, school, or hospital. We go down from our cities. Say in Mumbai, you are going from Thane to Churchgate. And you have taken up a travel. You have gone by train. But you are not a tourist. It's your routine thing. We move further, dear student. So, global industry overview of international tourism. International tourists are, once again, higher socioeconomic class and spending more. They have the spending capacity. They have money with them. That is why they classify themselves as global industry. Higher socioeconomic class and spending, longer stay at the destination. Any stay, as I just explained to you, could be staying for more than 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. There are different type of visas that are issued for tourism as well, as long as your activities involve something happening with relation to the tourism activity. So long stay take place, then responsible for bringing the foreign exchange, very important element of tourism, in inbound tourism. Tourists coming in from Germany, coming in from US, Australia to India, they would buy dollars, they would pay in dollars, they would spend dollars. So obviously, our foreign exchange reserve goes up. So there is an earning of foreign exchange. And that goes for any country of the world. Tourists bring in foreign exchange, which almost every country wants their foreign exchange reserve to always remain on high. Because every country needs on international platform to buy other products from international market. For that, they need to pay in foreign exchange. So they have to continuously generate revenue from foreign exchange. And that's the biggest contribution that comes in as a foreign exchange coming in to a specific country. And what that would happen to, that would give a growth, a possible big growth to GDP. There are countries in the world who depend solely on tourism to the tune of 80 to 90%. Quite a few examples I can give you very quickly. All the Caribbean countries, they have the cruise tourists who come into their country or normal tourists who come in for a holiday and they bring in foreign exchange. Few countries like Monaco, as an example I can give you, that country is depending on tourists, different type of tourists. And they bring in foreign exchange, a country in Europe called Monaco, and so on. So they bring in the foreign exchange, raising the gross domestic product of a country. And who would not like to have a foreign tourist coming in? France enjoys the highest number of tourist arrival in the world for the last 3 years. We go to the next topic about the overview, global industry. Again, international tourism easily measurable, and such visitors tend to be more recognizable as tourists at destination. So you can identify a tourist definitely from different spending capacity, from sometimes from their look itself. You would notice that, yes, these are the tourists, and that's such. It's a global industry explanation and overview. And also worldwide growth in arrivals or trips. So and when we are talking about this, UNWTO has a trans-satellite account. That's a different topic altogether. But their arrival of foreign tourists are recorded. Their spending is recorded. Their number of days are recorded. Their domestic travel is recorded. All that falls under different tabs. And they are registered, recorded, for a data, a statistic that is shared with all on around the world, because it's a United Nations agency or United Nations organization. So yes, international tourism easily measurable. You get barometer, you get statistic released by UNWTO from time to time. They explain to you how much is the foreign tourist arrival, which region got highest arrival, which country in recent years they have been talking post-COVID, what was the arrivals in 2019 as a base year for study, and how that has been showing a growth in the years following the COVID. And 2023, the year, they are suggesting that almost 90% of what was in 2019 would be coming back again as international tourist arrival. So all that happened as a global industry review coming in from UNWTO. And then moving further, worldwide growth in arrivals that I spoke to you, that yes, many countries have almost come as close as 95% to the international arrivals that they recorded in 2019. Some have shot up, especially the Middle East region has overtaken the statistic, the data of international foreign tourist arrival to the tune of anything from 10 to 15% over 2019. The other destinations are still below what they got in 2019. But the growth is positive, and obviously it will continue unless any certain things that may happen in again drop in tourism arrival. But let's be positive about it. Let's see that tourism continuously keep registering growth. That's what we were talking as a tourism industry review. Then we go to further, according to international tourism highlights. Now we are picking up some statistic from 2023 edition of UNWTO. The 2021 was seen as another challenging year for tourism. We are taking statistic, the data picked up in 2021, and it says international tourist arrival increased by 49 million over 2020. Now, 2020 was a disaster year for tourism. It was because international borders were closed. The foreign tourists were not allowed to travel from their home country, and international destinations also had their international borders closed up. So 2020 is considered as a sort of a bad dream, and everyone wants to forget about it. But yes, in statistical data, we have to take into consideration. So 2021 showed some growth over 2020. So it registered 456 million, but still 69%, which means what we had in 2019, it was sitting at 69% of the statistic of tourism 2019. And the year 2022 has characterized by a strong rebound backed by ease of restriction. My dear student, I just explained to you, the international tourism saw the drop in 2020, 2021, 2022, because many international destinations never opened up their borders for international tourists. The arrival of tourists was not allowed into their country as late as somewhere in the 2022. Like, for example, China opened up their border very much late. So that's the reason why we saw drop happening. But there is a tourism trend that is being discussed from time to time, is a revolt tourism, because people were fed up. International borders were closed. They were not allowed to go. The fares were very high. But then a lot of travelers felt, oh, it's too much. We have been in our homes. We have not traveled. So let's go somewhere. And as a revolution, as a revolt, they traveled. So yes, 2023 is on the perfect ongoing growth. But we picked up statistic up to 2022. According to international tourism, now we pick up 2023, the year that we are in now. In 2022, Europe accounts for nearly 60%. Again, we are taking statistic from the 2019 as a base. Europe represents almost half. in that growth. Europe represent 53% of the growth. If international tourism received, because many countries in Europe opened up their international borders much earlier than few countries which opened very late. As I just mentioned, China opened up very much late. It was followed by America with almost 1/4. So America followed, international borders opened up, foreign tourists were allowed to come in. At their home countries, the foreign tourists who wanted to do an outbound travel were allowed to go. Many airlines were not operating their full schedule. Many airlines were operating purely a flight called bubble flight, which means special arrangement, not as per a schedule, which means the schedule, two flights daily, one in the morning, one evening, that is called schedule. But bubble flights were operated. They had number of people who were ready to go with restriction imposed on them as COVID, this testing, mask, vaccination, distancing, all those elements were taken into consideration and bubble flights were brought in. My dear student, I'm counting on those years that went as horrific year for our tourism industry. But I always say this to my students, remember, tourism is something that can never die down. It is in our feeling, it's in our DNA that we like to travel, no matter where we, depending on our spending capacity, we travel. If you have big money to spend, if you want to see foreign land, we spend that. If you have small money, you do a domestic tourism. Okay, so Europe accounts for 3 in 5 trips in the world. Mind it, this is a good element to be understood, that Europeans travel. Out of 5 trips taken worldwide by international tourists, 3 will be done in Europe. This is what it explained. And in terms of spending, travel and tourism, China stand on the front position. The United States of America follows China. Chinese have a great spending capacity. Of course, after COVID, we have seen some drop into that. But Chinese were always big spender and they were traveling in a bigger number. And they travel throughout the year. They have one after the year, some functions, China's New Year, Christmas time, you have Easter holidays, you have school holidays, you name it. Chinese were traveling around the year. But because of the COVID, and we all know that COVID first cases were reported in China. So China has a big spending capacity. And Germany remained the world top source of markets during the pandemic, accounting for 1/3 of the spending on the international travel.